Penguin Audio presents Heaven's Fall by David S. Goyer and Michael Cassatt. Read by Joe J. Thomas. Prologue. Thursday, April 12, 2040. SecDef to Congress. Quotas not met. Big changes loom. China threatens sanctions. President Jerry laughs. Stocks up on SecDef threat. Summer 40 cast. It's a dry heat. Yanks robo-arm tosses fourth straight perfect game. Lily Medina weds her fourth this year. Headlines, National Times, 7 p.m., Thursday, April 12, 2040. Whit. Whit Murray thought, something is happening. He had no information, no warning. There was no visual cue. Yet he felt a cold tickle at the base of his neck. It was 8 in the evening, the sky still light, even though the sun had set. Whit had just left the North Nellis metro stop and was hurrying toward the dorm. He was tired, he was hungry, he'd worked past closing time at the installation cafeteria, and he was eager to score one of the top bunks. Then he realized he was alone on the sidewalk. On the tall side, at least compared to most of his contemporaries, Whit tended to slump when worn down. He was large, but not fit, certainly not coordinated in any sense of the word. His gait, especially tonight, was more of a shamble. He also had one of those faces that teenaged humans constantly misread. It had to do with his eyes, which were frequently open wider than strictly necessary, giving him an expression of superiority or disdain. None of it what he felt, but enough to encourage the odd elbow from a fellow traveler on a bus, and even a couple of actual beatdowns inside the installation itself. Posture, visage, aloneness, it all added up to robbery victim, or target for the aggregates. For some reason, possibly gestures and nonverbal cues from his coworkers all day, Whit realized that he wasn't going to be robbed. He was going to be ambushed by an aggregate, and likely taken somewhere he didn't want to go. It had happened to others. It had happened to his father and mother. As he continued on his way, though more slowly, glancing left and right, seeing no one, no human beings, Whit wondered why the aggregates never sent warnings or even benign messages. Maybe they found some value in shock and surprise. Of course, Whit wasn't going to be surprised. The aggregates had been dealing with humans since before Whit was born, yet they continued to underestimate the informal, off-the-grid ways in which information flowed from one person to the next. No matter. Whit was on alert and ready for the encounter. All he could do was wonder, where were they sending him, and why? He was a junior containment specialist, spending more time on education than hardware development. What good would he be anywhere else? Well, there was manual labor. Maybe his size had caused the aggregates to reclassify him. Off to his left, he could see the glittering towers of downtown Las Vegas. Whit did not gamble. He knew no one who patronized the casinos, though clearly there must be hundreds of thousands who did. The money eventually went to the aggregates. All money went to the aggregates. He remembered his father complaining that it was bad enough aliens had taken over the United States and now controlled the government, but they also let the roads turn to potholes and allowed buildings to collapse. "No matter how powerful they are," Andy Murray used to say, "when people see everything going to shit, they're going to rise up." Of course, expressing sentiments like that had led to Andy's disappearance, and so far, he'd been wrong. There was no sign that citizens of what was now called Free Nation U.S., or any humans under the aggregates, were going to throw off alien oppression. There were too many, they were too powerful, too all-knowing, too ruthless. And they had too many humans on their side. The first sign of an aggregate ambush was always the team from Transformational Human Evolution, or THE. Three, never fewer, of the handsomest humans.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?